Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
On Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so expect a new one of them tomorrow morning. Yeah, let's hope for tomorrow morning. So, you know, swing on over there and check that out. But there is content added throughout the week, so make sure you continue to check over there at Sports Time Radio to see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get on over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
So, and then hopefully, maybe about 15 minutes, Chris Hake from the South Bend Cub will be stopping by to join us, talk some minor league baseball, you know, all the cool stuff that goes along with that. And, yeah, Dan, I should have remembered much earlier that I needed to make the change in that league because it was a little distracting. You tried to do the setup with that, so, but we're okay now. And hopefully we can roll along. But I did want to start off on something, Dan. I didn't get the opportunity to ask you yesterday about this, but it's been a bit of a big deal about NBA players sitting out games. And it seems like, you know, it's starting to possibly affect fan base and, more importantly, television and advertisers, Dan. You know, the commissioner sent out a memo, good old Adam Silver. There's no real way to fix this, but you got any ideas?
Find the owners?
You know, and a lot of it is crap. You know, these guys don't need to be sitting out. I'm so tired of listening to, well, you know, like LeBron used the old, well, you know, we need the rest of you, you know, ready for the playoffs because it's more important to win a championship than a regular season game. Yeah, okay. No, you know, no, nobody buys this BS, guys. It's just kind of the mentality of how, you know, everything is now. You know, it builds into the laziness of our society. I mean, I'm extremely lazy. I don't know about you, Dan, but I'm just terrible when it comes to this kind of stuff. And yeah, you know, I get it. It's 82 games or whatever, and I'm sure it's difficult, but it's no more difficult than any other sport out there. I don't know why you guys think they're special.
Well, I mean, if it was easy, then everyone can do it, right?
Right, you know. Here, I think I got LeBron's quote here. That's what I was looking for. You know, and the sad part is, you know, even if the NBA attempts to do something for this, all a team has to say is, you know, a guy's got a hamstring or something like that. So, you know, here you go. Well, LeBron, of course, thinking of himself first. It says, I just know the conversation gets a little bit more talked about when I'm part of it. If it's somebody else, it gets blown up briefly. It gets talked about a little bit, but it doesn't have the legs and it's gone. But as soon as I'm involved, it's just a whole different situation. I don't think that's the case, but way to make yourself feel important.
Well, no, I think it was because of this weekend, this past weekend when he was out.
Yeah.
For, and despite the fact, you know, the GM, the actual title person, came out and said that they didn't think it was that big of a deal because Kyrie and Love are actually hurt.
But yeah, well, you know, like, the weird thing with what the Cavaliers did, and maybe you could explain this to me. They rested James with Love and Irving. I think Irving could have played if he had to. But they sat him against the Clippers and then played him against the Lakers. Okay, now, you know, the Clippers are, you know, they're definitely going to be a playoff team in the out west. They're 42-29. The Lakers are the worst team in the Western Conference at 20-50. They actually have the second worst record in the NBA behind only the Brooklyn Nets. Does it seem a little odd that they all sat out against the good team?
No, I mean, that's kind of been their MO. I mean, have you seen his big highlights? They've all been against teams that aren't that great. You never see the highlights.
You know, and I guess, you know, the other thing that's just so weird, and I don't understand this one at all, Dan, is why do they all have to sit out the same night? You know, and it's not just the Cavaliers who do this. Every team that rests players seems to rest them all on the same night, and it makes absolutely no sense to me. I don't understand why you can't spread this out.
Because that's what LeBron's team does, so that's what everyone else is going to do.
Well, you know, they're blaming Greg Popovich for this because Popovich in the first started this a while back with their guys. So it's apparently his fault. But, yeah, I've just always kind of wonder when I sit here and I look at this and I hear things and they're kind of like, you know, well, we all have to sit out on the same night. Why? I don't understand why you all have to sit out on the same night. Why can't LeBron sit one night and Kyrie sit another night? God, I almost called him Kylie. Good Lord, too much keeping up with the Kardashians. But, yeah, you know, it seems so weird that, you know, they all got to be out together to make sure, you know, none of them play? I don't know.
Well, then it justifies the loss. Just, you know, they can proceed without... You know, it's like, oh, well, that game we lost because, you know, the big three were out. You know, unlike when of the 10 games that one of the three has played for the Cavaliers, they've lost. Whether it was LeBron, who was the only one, Love, or Kyrie, when it's just those three, they've lost.
Again, you know, like I said, I was just kind of like, I don't get it. And I think they're 0-4 when LeBron sits. So.
No, when they all three sit, when it's one of the three that sits, they lost.
Is it one of the three? Okay, I thought it was just when LeBron sat. They had lost every game that he sat out this year. So.
Probably. So
now, you know, I guess, you know, how do they handle this, Dan? I mean, luckily, they just signed a new deal. I don't know if there's any kind of opt-outs or anything. You know, the good old Mickey Mouse Network paid, really overpaid to broadcast the NBA. You know, and the Cavaliers happened to decide to rest their guys on a Saturday night primetime ABC game, which of course we all know is owned by the same company. So, you know, when this next contract comes up, Dan, you know, they were basically bidding against themselves. You know, is this going to be an issue? And then when do advertisers jump in? Because while I didn't hear the rating for the game, I did hear it was way down. You know, and obviously that's not what advertisers want. So how long before, you know, this kind of starts to factor in and, you know, because we know, you got to say it, Dan, cash rules everything around me. So when does that factor in?
Well, and that's what will make the issue is when the advertisers start complaining. Because as the mics were talking about this morning, it doesn't matter. The NBA is still getting their money. So they could, you know, they could just cancel the game, and they're still getting paid.
Yeah. You know, and I know it's a nice gesture. I heard the one guy suggest that teams should offer refunds when, you know, this happens. Now, you and I both know, Dan, that's never going to happen. So, you know, call it what you want. They've got your money. They're keeping your money. You're not getting that money back. It's, you know, it's the chance you take when you buy the ticket. You know, and it's all, you know, it's always just, you know, one of those things. I mean, it can, you know, it can happen in any sport. You know, I mean, you could buy a ticket to see Clayton Kershaw pitch and the game before could get rained out and they could push starts back and you'd miss him. So, you know, it's the same deal there, you know, guy, you know, your NFL guy could miss a game, or, you know, your hockey guy, you know, Marian Hossa end up missing some games with an injury that nobody knew about. All of a sudden, he's missed two games with I believe it's an upper body injury. So, you know, it happens in every sport. But yeah, I guess until they start crying about the money, we're not going to worry about it. You know, we're not going to hear anything about it.
Well, no, I think, you know, combination of people not watching, you know, will upset the advertisers, and that's when things will change. I mean, this is more of a big deal in the NBA than any other sport.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on for this. Let's see if my switchboard is working. We can bring in Chris Hagstrom. Chris, you there?
I sure am, guys. How are you today?
Good. All right. Let's see if I got your title right, Chris. Are you still the Director of Media and Promotion?
At least for now. That might change the next couple of days. Okay. When they also want to add Executive Chef. You know, you never know what you're going to see.
Well, I was waiting for, you know, President and CEO is what I was waiting for, but, you know.
I don't think Joe Hart is ready to give up the title of team president just yet, but all in good time. When we talk in 20 years, that might be happening.
All right, and you know, you've heard Chris here multiple times. You know, you've heard Chris here multiple times. He is the Director of Media and Promotions for the Class A South Bend Cubs. So he was nice enough to join us again. Chris, I want to know right away before
really
we get into anything else. What are you now?
Really fast. Well, we are the Class A affiliate of the World Series champion Chicago Cubs.
Well, that leads me into the question I want to know right away, Chris. Are you getting a ring?
You know, I would. I'd love to answer that question, but we'll find out. You know, we had our mascot Stu D. Baker submitted his video for the Cubs official ring bearer, and he tried to put in a phone call to his buddy Clark over there at Wrigley, but unfortunately he was not selected. But you know, I've heard the rings are going to be beautiful, jewel encrusted, and because this hasn't happened in 108 years, we're going to have it's going to be a beautiful, elegant ring.
All right. Well, we want to see yours in person if you get one.
I tell you what, if that happens, I will make sure to show it off everywhere I go.
So, yeah, that was the one thing I wanted to know right off the bat. So I'm glad you covered that with us.
Glad I could help.
Now, will you be in town for the ring ceremony? I'm sure you guys have games going on that day.
Yeah, so we actually are going to be our season starts on April 8th at home. Now, we will start on the road on April 6th at West Michigan. I will be up in West Michigan for that start game. We had a lot of people that had enjoyed our coverage of our team in the playoffs. We went up to West Michigan. We had a lot of people enjoyed the coverage through social media, through photos, through Facebook Live. So we're going to do that again this year. Cover our team opening. I'll be up there, and then we'll open at home on the 8th and 9th. It's kind of funny. We got a weird home-and-home series with West Michigan, so we're there for two games. They come down to us for two games, and then we hit the road again. So opening day at Wrigley Field, I actually may have the day off, but I already have some other work to do for the Cubs that day anyway, so I will not, unfortunately, be attending opening day. Do you think there's going to be a replica trophy giveaway on April, I believe it was 13th, 14th, one of those days at Wrigley Field? So I'm going to try to sneak my way in over there, but they got a lot of great giveaways up there at Wrigley this year.
So it's really just 18 days then. It's that close for you guys to get rolling. Are you ready?
We're always ready. I mean, that's the one joke I like to say is that we're always ready. And but, you know, there's always so much to cover. We've been lucky enough in South Bend. When you think about Northern Indiana winters, you think about heavy snow and cold. And it actually has not been terrible this winter. Not a lot of snow. So the field's had a chance to – we've had a chance to do some work outside to get us prepared. Then, of course, you always have the graphics and – you know, the game programs, all that design stuff, and then waiting for players to arrive. And before you guys ask me the question, I do not know the rosters yet for the South Bend Cubs. So I'm actually waiting on my contact over there at Wrigley or at down in Mesa right now to once the minor league rosters are finalized. That won't be made public until April, but we'll at least get a sneak peek to try to get our game programs together and just be prepared for the upcoming season.
You stole my next question. No, I mean, have there been any major additions or changes to, you know, the field this year? Or there, you know,
well, we actually have a big change coming that's going to start tomorrow, actually, the groundbreaking for the Ivy at Berlin Flats. Berlin Place. It's gone through so many name changes. I apologize, but it's the Ivy at Berlin Place, and it's going to be a 10,000 square foot retail and complex, 120 apartments. There will also be on Building 1, there's going to be a rooftop party area, which is going to have bleachers, some fire pits, some private dining. It really is going to become Wrigley Field Jr. With the rooftops that we're going to have, and it's going to be a beautiful setting. The groundbreaking is tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time, just outside of Gate D at Four Winds Field. It really is going to be a beautiful facility when it's done, and there's already folks that are clamoring for the retail space. From a personal standpoint, I can only hope that it's a Portillo's or Luminati's, but I don't think that's going to be one of the selections. But, of course, we've extended our home run porch. Everyone keeps asking for more seats, so we're trying to add as many as possible before we have to go to the second level and remove the roof and add a second level to the stadium. So I would certainly say if you're a betting man in the next couple of years, you could see a second edition talked about at Foreman Field.
So now the team is just going to rent you an apartment so you'll be right there and you can get to work easier?
You know, I would certainly would hope so, because the only problem with that is that I'm on call 24/7. Not that I'm not on call 24/7 now, but they're really beautiful apartments. They're gonna have studios, one bedrooms, two bedrooms, beautiful kitchens, granite countertops, you know, chrome finishes on the inside for the kitchen area, beautiful bathrooms. Like when you think about Andrew Berlin and what he's done to turn the stadium around, and we always talk about quality over quantity, and you know, the little surprise and delight items, trying to make sure people enjoy their outings or enjoy their facility. These are going to be well-made apartments and really beautiful for whether it's you know, you're by yourself at a studio or you're getting ready to start a family, overlooking a ballpark as beautiful as Four Winds Field. So these are going to be very, very nice.
Now, will any of these be designated for players?
You know, I do not believe that we're going to have them for players due to the fact that there's only 120 of them. And obviously it's going to be easy to rent them out. The other side of that is you'd have to essentially keep half the season from September to March. They'd have to be vacant or short-term leases, and you have to kick people out. So as much as we'd like to put the players in there, it certainly makes it just makes more sense to continue housing the players as we currently do with whether it's through our partnership with St. Joseph Health Systems. And we actually have them a part of other players will will rent their own apartments and houses. You know, it's a really unique opportunity for the players and those at the St. Joseph retirement community to interact. And there's that generation gap that's bridged. There's actually a great story that we have on our website at southendcubs.com about how it came about and how our pitchers that live there kind of had their own little family.
You know, I was looking at your promotion schedule, and it's already just hugely full, and your year hasn't even started. How difficult is that for, like, you and your staff to kind of get all this going? Because, man, Chris, I'm looking at it, it's like there's almost stuff every home game. How do you guys manage to put this together?
Well, that was something that I took personally charge of. I wanted with our staff to make sure that when you came out to the ballpark, there was always something to do. When it comes to minor league baseball, not everybody's there to see the baseball. Since we've become a Cubs affiliate, that's changed, I think, quite a bit. You see more people out there to see the game of baseball, to see the Cubs players moving up and moving on. But the you know, people want entertainment, and that's what we are. We're an affordable, family-friendly entertainment complex, and so we want to find a way to bring out fans of all ages and likes and desires. And so that's why we've kind of diversified our promotional schedule, whether it's bringing in former Cubs, having decade nights, Christmas in July, Star Wars, you know, anything like that. We want to find a way to make sure people enjoy themselves and you know, have a great time at the ballpark.
Now, what would you say was the most popular last year? Was it the Star Wars night?
From a themed night, I would say Star Wars is obviously one of the big ones. Every minor league team, if you're a minor league baseball team, I think it's almost in the handbook that you have to do a Star Wars night because it is so popular. And with the movies being the re-release of the movies a few years ago, and now the new movies, it's really become a staple among minor league baseball. Really, our big nights are fireworks nights. People love fireworks. It's a simple, as I say, simple promotion. There's a lot that goes into it, but those are great. People love free stuff. So anytime we have a flat screen giveaway every Saturday, we give away a 50-inch flat screen TV every Saturday. I know what you guys are going to ask. No, I can't get you guys extra passes so you can try to win more TVs. I can't. I don't have that kind of power, unfortunately. But really, our weekend games are big. I would say our other popular promotion is social media night. People love to get involved, and whether it's the surprise player autographs or you know, selfies with players, trivia, whatever that might be. Social media, that was a lot of fun as well.
Well, I'm guessing Dan hasn't seen it yet, Chris, but when he gets to Eloy Jimenez bobblehead night, he's probably going to be bothering you for one of those. So
that's going to be a big night. We were very lucky to obviously have had Eloy last year, that he's had such success. Obviously, his shoulder issues, they're shutting him down now. So, and I was talking with a few staff members about that earlier. I would not be surprised if we see Eloy. I wouldn't have believed it at all until this happened, but maybe see Eloy in South Bend just as a couple of warm-ups, or by no means is this official. It's just me hypothesizing, but Eloy maybe might get a few more reps back in South Bend just to make sure he's good to go from Myrtle Beach. But the other great bobblehead, this is something we haven't done before. We only do one bobblehead a year over the last few years, but given the success of the Cubs and the fact that we had Dexter Fowler here last year, we are doing a Dexter Fowler bobblehead in commemoration of the World Series championship. So he may be a Cardinal now, but if it wasn't for that leadoff home run in Game 7, we would not be talking about this today. So there will be a Dexter Fowler bobblehead as well.
Now, with the popularity that Grandpa Rossi has taken on, any likelihood he'll be down there for something?
Could you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Oh, I said, you know, with the popularity of Grandpa Rossi, any chance he'll be making an appearance down there?
I can tell you that I've been in contact with him, and I can't give anything away yet, but we are in contact with him and his agent. He's obviously incredibly busy with Dancing with the Stars or his analyst position. A lot of things he has going on. I love the fact that he's even promoting Raisin Bran, because Raisin Bran wants, everybody wants and I mean no disrespect by this, but everybody wants the 40-year-old backup catcher of the Chicago Cubs who had a dream season last year of retirement. And you can't put together a better movie than having a man at his final at-bat of his career with a home run in Game 7 of a World Series. You can't – Hollywood can't even make that any better.
Yeah, you know, Chris, what I just can't figure out, and maybe it's just the fact that I have zero creativity, but I look at some of the stuff you guys come up with, and I can't – how do you and your staff do this? Like the one I noticed right away, opening day VIP special for $35. You know, reading through it, there's so much involved that it sounds like a fantastic idea. Can you take credit for it, or did it come from one of your other staffers?
No, that was actually a part of a promotion that our team president and general manager had put together. Opening day, people love to be at the ballpark. They love the food, the drinks. I mean, you really can't have baseball without an ice cold beer, in my opinion anyway. So we put together this great promotion, this great package. You have a wonderful 47 brand hat with two drink vouchers as long as you're 21 and older, sitting out in the picnic garden, which is a lovely place to watch a game because you're right there, especially along the rails of the field of play. So for $35, you know, to get a hat, your ticket, all you can eat, a ballpark buffet with hot dogs and hamburgers, teas, drinks, you really can't beat that price.
Because, I mean, all the guys in the press are going to be buying all those VIP tickets.
All the guys in the press box, hopefully they're going to enjoy their meals. We've put together a great menu for them as well. So when you guys come out, I think you might enjoy what's in the press box.
So, and now some of the stuff, you know, you're bringing it back from next year. Like I see you having the kids club again. Has anything changed with that?
No, the Kids Club is another great promotion that we have. It's for $25. It is slightly altered where instead of getting tickets to every Sunday home game, which we only had 8 Sunday home games this year, so we modified it a little bit to include 10 games total, and it's Monday through Wednesday. You also get a drawstring backpack. You get the shirt. We still have some mini bats available. There's so much that gets included in that. You think about 10 game tickets, the price of a Kids Club membership pays for itself within three games. So you're getting 10 games plus all the other stuff. It pays for itself just with the tickets alone. But if you have a kid that's 12 and under, we encourage them to sign up and come on out to South Bend. Even if you can only come out to three games a year, again, it's already going to pay for itself to be a part of the Kids Club.
Now, I mentioned earlier and a couple of weeks ago when we were kind of communicating through email about a possible rule change. Manfred, Commissioner of MLB, had stated that they were entertaining the idea of bringing in, with extra innings, putting a man on second, and that they would be putting it down in the low end of the, you know, at the starting point of minor league baseball. Is that rule taking effect into the Midwest League?
No, that rule will not take effect. And I actually heard earlier today Rob Manfred on another sports talk show talk about that there's no way that's even going to be entertained at the major league level for a while. So my understanding is that we will not have that rule as of now. Obviously, we're 18 days away from or 16 days away from our opening day at West Michigan. But as of right now, no, that rule will not take place for our season this year.
Good, I got to tell you, I hate that rule. So,
you amongst a lot of us.
Yeah. So now, I did see you're going to play an exhibition game against Notre Dame. So how do you end up scheduling that? I mean, obviously, it's not too difficult. They're right there in town, but how does that go over? Is the fan base split, or is it just everybody out having a good time?
You know, everybody's cheering for everybody in that game. We have to schedule these out years in advance, obviously with Notre Dame's schedule, with our schedule. So we actually had to put this on the books at the end of the 2015 season. The reason we didn't have it in 2016 was just because the schedule was already set for Notre Dame at the time. So we made sure that we got it on the books for 2017. Coach Mick Aoki is great to work with, his team. just a bunch of fantastic guys. You're going to have a lot of cheering probably for every people love Notre Dame. They love the South Bend Cubs. I would almost argue that from April to late August, it is South Bend Cubs country. Obviously, once September hits, it's very difficult to compete with the juggernaut of Notre Dame football. But, we obviously will do our part once we get to the playoffs. We have a great contingent of South Bend Cubs faithful that will come out for our playoff games should the team make it this year. But it's just going to be a great game, a great time had by a lot of people. And we're only going to play 7 innings. And the guys, I would imagine, at least from the South Bend Cubs standpoint, are just going to be getting back into their reps, especially with the cold weather. So I anticipate for some of these guys that have never, been in cold weather before in their lives, so this is going to be a shock for them. So especially for the Latin players, I would imagine they're going to get a slow start in the season. I mean, look at Eloy Jimenez. He had a little bit of a slow start, although in his third home game, he had a walk-off home run, pimped it a little bit. So he had to be taught that that's something you don't necessarily want to do every time. But, some of the guys will get a little bit slow start, but once we hit into, late April, early May, the weather, the temperature starts going up, you're going to see some of these guys really hit their stride.
Now, I know I'm going to ask some way far in the future, maybe 6-7 months down the line. But we don't want to say anything because we obviously don't want to jinx. And, baseball is full of superstition. But any contingency plans in place for possible viewing parties for late October?
We do actually have, with this season, of course, we had some viewing parties. We actually had an open house as Major League Baseball kind of discourages some teams from having viewing parties. So we did have a few open houses, and just what happened, the video board was playing some content. But obviously people are excited. They love the Cubs, and we'll do everything that we possibly can to try to encourage that love and to promote and celebrate the team whenever they play.
So now, obviously, like you said, you don't know what your roster is going to be just yet, but what about your coaching staff? Are you going to have the same manager back along with the same coaches?
Yes, we do have our coaching staff finalized. As Jimmy Gonzalez, the Midwest League Manager of the Year from last season, is back again for his third year at the helm of the South Bend Cubs. His former pitching coach, Brian Lawrence, who went down to the Eugene Emeralds, is back with the team. He was with South Bend Cubs in 2015, went down to Eugene in 2016, and there's a great pitching core down there that I would anticipate we could see coming up to South Bend this season, which is why Coach Lawrence is back. And two other great assistants as well that are brought on. They'll be their second years in the organization. Jonathan Mota, I'm sure many of you guys might remember his name from the Iowa Cubs. He's now an assistant coach with us. So the staff is set. The trainers are ready. And before you know it, in about 15 days, the players will arrive on a Monday, and we'll have baseball back in South Bend.
Now, I follow you on social media, but it's not glued to my hand or, my eyes aren't on it all the time. But I just wondering, were you able to get any time to go out to Arizona?
Unfortunately, I did not get any time out in Arizona. I have a freelance job and had a chance to produce the NCAA championship wrestling tournament down in St. Louis. So I was very lucky and fortunate to do that. Unfortunately, that prevented me from going to Arizona this spring, but looking forward to seeing, all the players coming up here. Spring ball is unlike any other. When you get guys like Ian Happ and Eloy Jimenez, that you look at their futures with the Cubs organization and say we obviously don't want injuries to some of the stars in Chicago, but the Chicago Cubs farm system is going to be good for a while.
So now, I know you've got the big performance center, and you guys run all the baseball academies and stuff through there. Are your coaches, once they get around, do they, I don't know, surprise kids or just stop in and see kids, or do they even run something? I know I saw on the website you got an academy coming up. How does that kind of work for you guys?
Well, we do have a baseball academy, which is $125 for a 3-day session, which is done by the coaches, the players, the South Bend Cubs. When you go out to the performance center, you'll typically see the players will be on their side, their cages, hitting, practicing. You'll be hitting alongside the future stars of the Chicago Cubs. So we encourage people to come on out, check out the Performance Center, be a part of the Baseball Academy. We'll have two camps running in July, July 12th to the 14th, as well as July 26th to the 28th.
All right, well, I'm off the week of July 12th to the 14th. Can I come out and do that camp, or am I too old?
Unfortunately, you're a little too old for that one. But if you do have any youngsters or know any cousins or nephews or nieces that want to be a part of it, we'd sort of love to have them.
Now, you know, switching topics just a little bit, I kind of wanted to get your opinion. I don't know, you said you're busy with the down in St. Louis, but did you happen to catch any of the WBC, and have you been, you know, keeping your eye on it a little bit?
Yeah, I've kept an eye on it a little bit. Obviously, keep my eye on some of the Cubs players, Javi Baez, just being Javi Baez, no matter with the Cubs or in the World Baseball Classic. I think it's a great thing for baseball. You know, it gives a sense of not just the teams that you can put from nationalities and from countries, but gives you super rosters at some point when you put folks that have played together in their native country, and then you put them all together on one team. Certainly an unbelievable experience.
So now when you watch it, do you root for the USA team, or are you just kind of rooting for the individual Cub players?
I'm rooting for baseball, to be completely honest, guys. I'm a huge Cubs fan, but getting a chance to see some of these guys play together, and it's great for baseball to promote it worldwide. I mean, we always talk about the World Series, but it truly isn't the encompassing the world. But the, you know, this World Baseball Classic truly encompasses the world. So really the sport of baseball wins, and I'm just rooting for Cubs players not to get hurt.
I think we all have, as we've seen a few from other teams. But, you know, coming into this season, I know you've mentioned you've kind of got an office rivalry so much, so to speak, with the team up in Michigan. But do you see are there any big rivalries going on, you know, this season between the South Bend Cubs and anybody?
Just because they knocked us out of the playoffs last year. We've been trading wins and losses back and forth. They're a team that we always kind of circle on our calendar. The Fort Wayne Tin Caps, just by proximity, only 90 minutes away, and we do share some of the fan base. So it's kind of a fun rivalry between them. Everybody seems to look at former Cubs affiliates, the Kane County Cougars, the Peoria Chiefs. We really only see them for one series a year. But I wouldn't say that's a rivalry so much. But West Michigan and Fort Wayne, I think, are our top two.
So, you know, now as a media guy, Chris, I think this is something I would be really interested in your opinion. How do you feel about all the slow play talk and that the game needs to be speeded up? How do you come down on that?
You know, I think the pace of play is for minor league baseball, it can vary. If you've got a pitching coach that's going out there every, you know, 3-4 pitches because a guy isn't having the right mechanics. I understand that at this level of baseball, at the single A level, it's important because you're trying to develop your players and mechanics. But at some point in time, you just have to let the guy try to pitch out. And if he can't do it, you know, there's a reason they have video. You can go back and look what you did wrong and improve it. So I think there's something to be done with the pace of play for some younger fans that maybe don't watch the game of baseball. To watch the game of baseball, they watch it like a video game. All right, you know, I'm going to get my hits, hurry up and wrap it up in under 2 hours. So I would say from a baseball purist standpoint, I think the pace of play is great as it is already. Get a chance to drink your beer, eat your peanuts. But again, I think that those pure baseball fans are starting to come fewer and far between.
So now do you find it at your level, do you try to come up with more things for the kids outside of just watching the game, the younger kids? Obviously, they're going to get distracted. Do you maybe, I don't know, almost focus on that to the point where it's like, okay, we got to make sure they kind of stay occupied?
Well, when you're talking about minor league baseball, it really is about family entertainment for the entire family, for the entire community. And believe it or not, guys, there's some people out there that just don't like baseball. I don't get it. I know you don't get it, but for some reason, there's just some people out there that don't like the sport of baseball. So you're going to cater to all those audiences, whether it's a mother with three kids that, you know, needs a place to take her kids that's safe and fun, or you've got an entire family coming out and but they don't have a lot of money. So you buy a 12 game, then you've got the playground and the mascots, and it's a very affordable piece of entertainment. Or if you've got the young couples coming out on a date night, you've got teenagers and want a place to hang out. You're just looking across the board and trying to make sure everybody's having a great time. When it comes to South Bend, you're probably looking at well over 60% of the people that come out are coming out for the fun that we've created, not necessarily the baseball.
All right, and now, you know, I know you always set lofty goals for your staff and everything. You breaking an attendance record this year? You got enough going on out there? You're going to get fans out and break the record?
You know, I think that we're very well poised for us to break another attendance record. We've done it the last 3 years. In 2014, 258,000. In 2015, 347,000. 2016, 350,000. So I think we're really setting ourselves up for another great season. Ticket sales are already through the roof. When our individual tickets went on sale, we were already 10% over, actually I think it was closer to 15% over what we sold the year before during our first on sale date. Everybody's wanting tickets to that April 20th game because the World Series trophy is going to be here. I would anticipate that's going to sell out soon. There's more weekend games. There's a lot of factors that are involved there. But I really think that with the way the schedule is kind of lined up for us this year, I think we are poised to break another attendance record.
You know, and now how can, you know, say people like Dan and I who don't live in South Bend, how can we order tickets?
Well, as always, you can order them online at southbendcubs.com or call us 235-9988. And of course, on our website at southbendcubs.com, you can look at all the promotions that we were talking about today. Find out what game is right for you. If you want to see, you know, Andre Dawson at Four Winds Field, you can in June. There's so many other great opportunities and great promotions going on. Maybe you like Country Night, or maybe you like Christmas. We have a Christmas in July. Maybe you like Football Night and you're a fan of the Colts. We're going to have the Colts are actually going to be at Four Winds Field for Football Night this year, which, you know, some people may say great. Other people say, well, at least they're not the Bears. So there's a lot of great promotions that are out there for different people. And I think that whether you're a fan of baseball or not a fan of baseball, you're going to have a great time at Four Winds Field regardless.
So, all right. Well, Chris, you know, we'll let you run. I know we ate up a lot of your valuable time here, but I know the team is really active on social media. Can you throw out, besides, you know, southbendcubs.com, anything else? I know there's Facebook, Twitter, all the stuff that goes with it before we let you run.
No, we actually have no social media whatsoever. No, I'm just kidding. it'd be like ludicrous to say right now is if you're in a minor league baseball team. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/southbendcubs, on Twitter and Instagram at SBCubs. You can also follow us on Snapchat. Look for us under SBCubs. And you are going to see a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. We'll have player involvement. We're looking at some new technology that will allow you to see from the player's point of view on our Snapchat feed. So it obviously won't be in-game, but there's a really cool piece of equipment we're going to be looking at getting this season. But find us on any of our social medias. And honestly, if you follow us, you probably have a good chance of winning a prize because we like to give away stuff on social media. So help us on our Drive to 55 on Facebook because we're giving away season tickets if we get to 55,000 likes on Facebook.
Wow. So, all right. Well, Chris, as always, you know, thanks for coming on with us. You know, we always appreciate you taking the time to jump on and, you know, I'm sure we'll be talking to you real soon.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you guys sometime as the season's going on. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you.
All right, Chris, take care.
Take
care. So, all right, Chris Hagstrom, of course, he's the director of media and promotions for the Class A South Bend Cubs. Of course, they're an affiliate of the World Series champion Chicago Cubs. So there you go. It's always nice to have Chris on. He's, Dan, I think he's one of the few guys who are, you know, when we started out, he's still not too big to talk to us. So.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's amazing, just look, like I was looking at their promotion list and the stuff they can put together with just without knowing your roster. It is just unbelievable the way they kind of piece that all together to get the year covered. And, you have no idea who the heck any of your players are. I would be pulling my hair out in an office somewhere if I had that job. I don't know how the heck they do it. So that's the kind of job you need.
Exactly. You threw out when he's the president / CEO. I told you that's when I'll send my resume.
Yeah. You know, when the right job opens up, that's what we're looking for Dan to get in. So.
But no, I mean, honestly, with a couple of those promotions, I heard Andre Dawson, my ears, my eyes popped open, my ears, bounced up a little bit more, and I wouldn't even be opposed to a Dexter Fowler bobblehead. But yeah, you're right, the Eloy Jimenez bobblehead.
Yeah, I saw they have, there's Bill Buckner's going to be there one night, and I think, I didn't see the day, but I know that I saw Miguel Montero on the website. I know he's a former player, so maybe he'll appear. I don't know how they, how they got that going on, but yeah, it's just kind of impressive with the way they just put this stuff together. Like I said, without knowing the roster. I mean, they know the coaching staff. That's pretty much all they know. that's it. And they managed to put it all together. But, hopefully we'll get a chance to go down there. So, again, this year and check that out. Yeah, don't even get me started on that. I've had some bad luck here lately. I don't know what's going on with me. I'm just getting old. So.
Well, I think it's a testament to the fact that, like you said, it's minor league baseball. And then with the fact that you've got the Cubs name attached to it, it definitely helps, kind of bring the draw to begin with.
And I do get a kick out of it. It's basically, like you said, it's going to be a little wrinkly now with those apartments going up. That's going to, you'll be able to go out on the roof and stuff. That's going to be, going to be kind of just like the smaller version. And it's a good time down there anyways. I mean, I know you and I had a good time when we went, and it was a couple ago, but I'm sure, it'd still be fun.
Well, we need a Wrigley Field South. We already have a Wrigley Field North, in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
The one thing I thought about after, and of course, he really couldn't give an answer to it, is and I think you'd entertain this idea too, but with what the White Sox are doing or have done, I think this is one of those things where it would have been kind of cool if the White Sox had a team in this organization as opposed to kind of all being centralized outside of the Midwest, which again is one of those things that makes absolutely no sense to me. Why the White Sox don't have a minor league team anywhere in the vicinity. But it'd be kind of cool for their Class A team to kind of go up against the South Bend Cubs with the way they've kind of put their system together now. I guess,
well, to be fair, though, it's not just the White Sox. There's a lot of teams that for some reason their minor league teams aren't close to where they play. I've never understood that, but, that's just how they choose to do it. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get it. You're obviously not going to have, as far as the major, I know there's so many minor league teams, but when you go through the, major five, I guess you could say, you're obviously not going to have them all within the vicinity. For us, the South Bend Cubs is a good, 2-hour drive. I don't know. It gets confusing with that time change. So I don't remember how that really worked. It was 3 hours there and 2 hours back. And then we've got the Iowa Cubs that are a good 3-4 hours away. It is what it is.
All right. Well, some other sports news here, Dan. I guess technically this is locally. I don't know if you saw this, but Jerry Krause, who was the former Bulls GM, he was the guy, I guess you would call him, responsible for drafting the players around Michael Jordan that led to the six championships. He passed away today at the age of 77. You know, not now Jordan was not a big fan of his, but you know, you got to realize, you know, he drafted Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant. He signed Dennis Rodman. And people may not remember, but he was also the guy who plucked Phil Jackson out of the Continental Basketball Association. Phil was the head coach for, I believe it might have been the Albany team there in the CBA, and Krause was the guy who found him and, you know, brought him on board. So while he was the scapegoat for a lot of things, you know, he did the correct things, again, to build a, you know, a championship team. You know, I know people didn't like the Charles Oakley for Bill Cartwright trade, but it worked out. You know, he got a lot out of Ron Harper, who people thought were pretty much washed up after all the injuries, but he contributed. And of course there was Tony Kukoc. So, you know, he made a lot of really good moves with the Bulls that ensured them getting those championships. Obviously it helps to have a Michael Jordan, but you know, he's still, you know, one guy can't win it anymore. You needed those other guys. So, but yeah, you know, he obviously his negatives, he really wanted to rebuild that team after, you know, Jordan was going to go away, and it didn't work out. You know, to be fair, the team hasn't really rebounded since. It looked like they did a couple years back there when Derrick Rose was healthy and playing at the top of his game, but you know, they never quite got over the hump. So, but yeah, you know, after he left the Bulls, I didn't realize he had went back into baseball, and he was scouting for the Yankees, the Mets, the White Sox, and was even working in the Diamondbacks scouting department as late as 2011.
Wow.
So. But yeah, you know, one of those things, I mean, obviously helped, you know, make Chicago important in basketball.
Well, I mean, you almost want to say, I know there's, you've got the plethora of guys before, you know, kind of intermixed with the old days and the ABA and the NBA, but I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't feel the NBA would be where it is if it weren't for those Bulls teams. Or am I wrong because of the Lakers?
Yeah, well, you know, well, you know, obviously the, you know, the Magic Johnson, Larry Bird era started it off, and then Michael kind of picked it up from there. So, you know, they get, I don't know if they get, you know, all the credit, but they definitely get some of the credit. So. You know, it's just one of those things you got to remember. And, you know, people, I've heard people bring this up lately, and especially now, you know, I know you don't remember this, but I certainly do. At one point in time, the NBA Finals, Dan, used to be shown on tape delay late night on CBS. It would be on after the local news. And this was a finals game. Could you imagine that now?
No.
So, yeah, I don't remember what year it was, but, yeah, I remember watching an NBA Finals game on CBS Channel 2 after the local news at 10:30 it started. And, you know, they had it edited down, of course. I think the game took an hour and a half or, you know, 2 hours or something. And that's how they showed the NBA Finals. You know, I'm not kidding you. I don't know, you know, how many people who are listening to us are old enough to remember that. You know, I just happen to be. But, yeah, you can look it up. This is where that league was at one point in time. I mean, actually lower than what we would consider hockey now. And, you know, luckily, you know, Magic and Bird brought some life to it, and then Michael came along. You know, and obviously there were, you know, the other guys who have, you know, come through to fill in. You know, Shaq was a big part of it. You know, Penny Hardaway for a little while. You know, and then Yao Ming came in and helped bring in that Chinese fan base where they had a player to root for. And, you know, they've done it. You know, they're very smart marketers. You know, they know how to, you know, how to do things and get things that work for them. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle, like, what we were talking about earlier. You know, how are they going to kind of get over this little bit of a hurdle of, you know, people not being excited about the fact that you just don't know who's going to play. So, like I said, they're smart guys. They'll get it all figured out, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, there's no reason why they can't spread out the resting of players. To me personally, it just proves that, you know, kind of what you've been saying, how, you know, guys come together as opposed to building a team from the start. And I think that's proven every time. I mean, can you imagine in the playoffs if LeBron and Kyrie were sat and only Love played and they did that, you know, one of the seven games, they would be out of the series.
I still attribute a lot of this to everybody's a friend now. You know, it's very rare where you see something like, you know, like last night, the Golden State Warriors played the Oklahoma City Thunder. And these guys genuinely don't seem to like each other. You know, Westbrook was going after everybody. Curry got into a shoving match with somebody. You know, it's not like that now. You know, LeBron is everybody's friend. And, you know, Carmelo and Chris Paul and all these guys are buddy-buddy, and they're the big stars. You know, it loses a little bit of its killer instinct because you don't really seem like these guys care if they beat each other, do you?
No, I mean, at least in the WWE, they still put on that persona.
At least there, yeah, they make it seem like they want to kill each other. But, you know, it just makes it tough to watch. Oddly, Dan, I didn't realize this, the Bulls had an early start on the Mickey Mouse Network. They're playing the Toronto Raptors tonight. And, of course, since the Raptors are an above 500 team, Dan, the Bulls are up 6 right now with about 4 minutes left in the first quarter.
Well, that's because they rested.
If the Raptors were an under 500 team, the Bulls would be down 6 right now. That's just how the season seems to work for this team. I haven't quite figured that out. But it is the doubleheader night on the Mickey Mouse Network. The second game is actually San Antonio at Minnesota, which is a pretty good game, but it's got an 8:30 start time, which means, sadly, I won't see most of it or any of it probably. The rest of the schedule, real quick, we got the Pistons at the Nets, the Suns at the Heat, the Grizzlies at the Pelicans, the Warriors are at the Mavericks, the Bucks are at the Trailblazers, and the Clippers are at the Lakers, Dan, even though it's in the same building. So I always love when they do that. I guess technically somebody has to be the home team, right?
Exactly. And Brandon Marshall just had to switch locker room.
The Heat, after that long winning streak, may hang on to a playoff spot. You know, they're right there in the East. Technically they are still ninth, but they're tied with Detroit. They have the same record, 34-36, and they're only a half game behind Milwaukee. So do you think they're gonna find a way to sneak in? What they win? They won 12 in a row for a while. You got them sneaking in?
They might sneak in. I mean, it did help with the whole kind of even waiting and throwing in the towel.
All right, well, it's time for Dan and I to go. Another big thanks to Chris Hagstrom, South Bend Cubs, for jumping on and talking to us. We'll be back tomorrow at 5:30, but you know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out all the stuff there. Look for the new blog tomorrow. Jump on, follow the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio, and, of course, the Facebook page. Swing over there and get that a like. Don't forget Dan and I are on Twitter. You can hunt us down if you really want to. Again, big thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.